As it turns out, records are made to be broken. From Virginia Farm Bureau, this is Cattle Pulse, your monthly update on the Virginia feeder cattle markets, the national trends that affect them, and stories of cattle producers from around the Commonwealth. I'm your host, Elijah Griles, and from Appalachia to the Eastern Shore, we're excited to have you with us. Welcome to the May episode of Cattle Pulse. It's great to be back with you, and we have so much exciting news in today's episode, including a visit to the one and only Virginia Beef Expo, where we got to catch up with some great attendees, including Virginia Cattlemen's Association Executive Director Brandon Reeves, as well as some of our Farm Bureau members and staff. We all know that in sports, they play to break records, and the Virginia feeder cattle auction prices have been no different in the past month, with the state setting a new record for this month. We'll report more specifically on those prices at the end of today's episode, so be sure to stay tuned. But first, let's talk about our feeder cattle futures contract numbers. The May contract is trading at $244.65 a hundredweight, down 0.15% from a month ago. The August contract is trading at $255.75 a hundredweight, which is up 0.54%. The September contract is trading at $256.50 a hundred, down 0.22%. As we unpack some of the trends in the national feeder cattle futures market, I do want to note that this past week, USDA announced that there were no highly pathogenic avian influenza detections in ground beef, which they had sampled from states that had seen that virus in their dairy herd. So that is good news and has helped to bolster those nearby contracts as we're looking at the trends this week. Secondly, we did have our April cattle on feed report, and that included the numbers of heifers on feed, which we'll talk about here in just a moment. That report showed that there were 11.8 million head on feed as of April 1st, and that is up 1% from a year ago. The placements in March were 1.75 million, which were 12% below year-ago levels. Now, that heifers on feed number was at 38.5%, which does not indicate herd expansion. Although that level has fallen from 40% in October of 2023 and then 39.7% in January of 2024, we're not really going to anticipate any type of national herd expansion until we see consecutive quarters of lower than 35% heifers on feed. So we are not seeing those numbers yet, and that does not indicate to us that the national herd is expanding. The cattle on feed numbers as well remain relatively high, and marketings continue to lag. They're 14% below year-ago levels in March, and this is likely due to the expensive purchase price of feeder cattle, which you all know about because of these high cash prices here in Virginia, and the abundance of relatively cheap feed for feeding those cattle. And we also, because of this, are seeing higher slaughter weights of fed cattle, which is up to 1,399 pounds, which is higher than 1,352, which we saw a year ago. And interestingly, was also the highest slaughter weight ever recorded in March. So we're starting to see some of those cattle on feed numbers work itself out, but it probably won't be until the second half of 2024 where we actually begin to feel a little bit more of the pressure that we would expect to see given the national cattle inventory numbers. Now, let's get into our weather and climate outlook. The main story here, and I know everyone's feeling it, it's been in the 80s, maybe even in the 90s in some part of the state, and we're starting to see those dry conditions creeping in. It doesn't take many days of breezy, low humidity, warm temperatures, and we start to feel how many days it's been since we've last gotten a good rain. The drought monitor shows that 20% of the state is abnormally dry. That's primarily in Southside and southwestern Virginia. And the NAS crop progress report is showing that Roanoke is 1.4 inches behind normal. That being said, though, Richmond and Norfolk are 5 and 4.5 inches, respectively, ahead on precipitation for the year. Now, the NOAA Climate Prediction Center says that for May, we are anticipating a 33 to 40% chance of above normal temperatures across the state. So this warm trend is going to continue, but also expecting a 33 to 40% chance of above normal precipitation across the state, which is good. As we can anticipate, you know, we say April showers bring May flowers, but certainly are going to need some showers in May to give us some good moisture heading into the summer for those pastures. April is Beef Expo month, and first we got to check in with Virginia Cattlemen's Association Executive Director, Brandon Reeves.
Beef Expo really checks a lot of boxes for our industry. I mean, I think it's an educational event, obviously, yesterday. Today, we've got a great number of cattle sales with our breed associations and the trade show, and so a good opportunity to network and kind of get together as an industry. And then the youth component is important as well, and so we've got 2 days of youth shows coming up. They also had a tractor driving contest, a cattle working contest, and so it's a great opportunity that kind of offers something for everyone in our industry at every level, every age group.
Thanks so much for your time, Brandon. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Elijah.
I also got to catch up with Clifford Joins of Grayson County, Virginia, who is a Farm Bureau member and raises beef cattle in the Appalachian Mountains.
I run a part of it's commercial, some of it's registered Angus. I've got about somewhere between 40 and 45 cows.
And do you sell those at your local stockyard?
No, we have a special sale sometimes down there where a lot of us growers get together and put them on tractor and trailer loads, and I sell through the what we have, the Mountain Mama. So, and then I've tried to sell some bulls through the BCIA.
So I know we've been seeing a lot of high prices kind of across the state. Have you been seeing that too? And if so, do you think it's going to continue? I know it's hard to say.
Well, with what's been going on with the United States with the shortages in cattle, I think it'll continue for a while. But we never know when that's going to turn around. We had this back in 14 and 15, and if you ain't careful, you get caught.
You were talking about just buying a bull recently. Was it hard to kind of make that level of investment?
Well, yeah, but you know, to get better quality of stuff, you got to step out and buy good quality to make good stuff. So that's what I'm trying to improve on my herd.
What do you feel like in Grayson has changed the most maybe in the last 20 or 30 years with the cattle industry?
I guess you just lot along with all of it. I remember when I grew up that I put square bales up at a penny and a half a bale.
A penny and a half?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And we got a lot of bales.
That's right. And one time we put up 1,000 bales. There's 4 of us. And that's what he charged to pick up. We put it in the barn. And so, you know, where you cannot incorporate the labor to put this stuff, that's how come we've gone to round bales and stuff.
I like, though, that you talked about improving your genetics first, because having a good product to sell is a key part of being able to capitalize on the different markets.
That's right. And you got to stay on top of a lot of that stuff, you know. All this new genetics and everything, some of it you got to cull out, because I feel like the docility of a cow has a whole lot to do with it. You can't sell something that's going to turn on you. And, you know, and I'm getting older, and these bones don't heal as quick.
Right. Well, thanks so much for talking to us. I appreciate it.
Yeah, boy, I hope everything goes good for you.
I also can't let you get away from today's episode without talking about livestock risk protection. We've talked about it on the podcast before, but instead of me telling you about it today, I talked to Andrew Tuck with the Virginia Cattlemen's Insurance Agency to give you a little bit of background.
LRP is basically insurance against a national market decline, so producers are able to get a coverage price for their feeder and fed cattle, which is based off the CME futures. And if the national market declines and falls below their coverage, then they're owed the difference.
Got you. So that could that help like cow-calf, backgrounder, kind of all parts of the market?
Anyone who markets feeder or fed cattle, so those cow-calf producers who are selling wean calves, sockers who are selling feeder cattle, as well as feedlots who are marketing fed cattle.
Got you. So have you seen LRP be pretty effective for people who have bought it, or is it kind of 50-50?
Most of the time, so far it's been pretty effective. You never know when there might be a price decline or what might happen to the national market. So people that have that coverage in place, it's a little bit easier on them to budget and make a profit at the end of the day.
So would something like, I know there's been a lot of buzz about avian influenza and it getting into dairy cattle, would livestock risk protection potentially help producers who are worried about, you know, if that were to transfer to beef cattle?
With the avian flu that's just kind of outbroke out in Texas and into some dairy herds, we've seen the futures for feeder cattle kind of take a drop over the last couple of weeks. And folks who got their coverage in before that drop are seeing, you know, a $20, $30 payout as of right now.
I also stopped in to talk to Danielle Bappert of Virginia Farm Bureau Crop Insurance.
When's a good time to buy livestock risk protection?
Any time that you have cattle is a good time to buy it. If you try to play the market, if you try to watch it, if you get too detailed with it, you will end up getting discouraged and frustrated. So any time that you have cattle, you know when you're going to sell them. I would go ahead, even if you wanted to do some of your cattle, you do not have to do all of your cattle, but go ahead and get something there. If there's a price there that will protect you and it's there, and you can put that floor in for yourself, go ahead and do it. Don't wait. Don't try to play when the prices go up, go down. Just go ahead and put it there and get that protection on your cattle.
What would be the best way to find out more about a policy?
Contact your local crop insurance agent. With Farm Bureau, we have 4 agents all over Virginia, and you can contact any one of us. You can Google us. You can contact us directly through Farm Bureau. You can call your local Farm Bureau office, and they will get you in touch with one of us that do the LRP.
There was a lot of excitement at the Virginia Beef Expo and some great seed stock sales, as well as educational events and vendors and just networking opportunities across the industry. As I mentioned at the top of the show, we have set a new price record for our Virginia feeder cattle auctions, and you know what that means. It's time to do the numbers. Abingdon Tri-State came in April at $271.70 a hundredweight, which is down 2.7%. Blackstone was at $295.40 a hundredweight, up 2.99%. Lynchburg was at $296.60 a hundred, down 0.21%. And Radiant was at $300.60 a hundredweight, up 3.25%. Shenandoah Valley was at $295.50 a hundredweight, up 1.94%. And Winchester was at $297.30 a hundredweight, down 1.5%. That gives us a statewide 6-market average of $292.80 a hundred, which is 0.63% up from a month ago. And that is a new state record. So we continue to see this strength in our markets, and April is traditionally one of our highest months for these 5-weight steers, so we're very interested to see what's going to happen in May. The numbers from the Virginia Department of Agriculture for March are in, and those prices were $298.87 a hundredweight for 5-weight steers across state-graded markets. Now, the reason for the difference in that price and ours is that those only include state-graded markets, and we do include Abingdon Tri-State, which is not state graded. We are very excited to see if this trend continues moving into May, or if we're going to start to see things pulling back as some of that buying of stockers reduces moving into the summer months. As always, it's great to have you with us. Thank you so much for joining us for this May episode of Cattle Pulse, and we will see you next time.